Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is Dale Jackson welcoming you to the Lamp and Light broadcast, coming to you from the studios of Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry. It takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is to men as they are, without compromise or apology. Speaking the truth in love is our purpose, and to give the lamp and light to all.
Yesterday in our study of Titus chapter 2, we were talking about churches failing and joining the contemporary movement because of immature Christians being in leadership positions. Let's continue with that thought today.
Now, here is our teacher and pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
I will plant my feet on this firm foundation, for the Bible says.
And that is the height of true spiritual immaturity when you begin to put those things ahead of the Lord. And then you're headed for failure as a Christian and being ashamed at his appearing. So a Christian wants to grow to a point where the love of behavior that becomes holiness is what marks his life. Now, I think of in church, I'm pastor. Let's just say that I step down as the pastor, and we have a Christian school here, so let's just say the administrator of the Christian school, we have a radio station, the manager of our radio station. They all have retired, sat down, or something happens, and they're out. And yet, there is so many that just simply would not qualify for those positions. But people say, well, we'll take this over. Then you have babes. Not the mature, spiritually mature in spiritual understanding, taking over. Why do so many of these fundamental churches at one time, why have they turned to contemporary music and thrown the standards out the door? Because babes, verse 14, were on the ship. And that's not what the grace of God teaches us. In doctrines and practices, spiritually, their eyes are darkened. Do you remember God created the heavens and the earth, the light and the darkness? Yeah, God created darkness, but there was a purpose for creating darkness. The stars of the heaven, the sun, the moon, and the way he would make his earth, it would show the brilliance of their beauty. Job, as he describes the heavens in such picturesque language, and you see those things as it's going forth. And yes, that was for beauty. Even Satan, he was before an angel of light. But darkness, because of Satan, removed from his position of light, removed from what he had, he is a symbol of sin. Throughout the scriptures, you read throughout the scriptures, then you see light and darkness. Now, God did not create anything, Satan or man, to sin. He's a holy God. That would go 100% against his holiness. And if he would work against his own holiness, his own purity, then he would not be God as the Bible teaches he is. So God is absolutely holy. And because of that, you'll see that many times people try to assign those things, just like Satan did in the garden. Satan, using critical thinking, told Eve, you will not surely die. You'll be as gods. You'll be all these other things. He lied to her, and the darkness brought upon them the fall of man. Now, you have all these various doctrines. But what we need is spiritual understanding in these doctrines, not turning the grace of God into lasciviousness. Now, we have to have spiritual eyes. That's why you need to be in the Word of God, meditate in the Word of God, get to know the Word of God, so that you can understand the difference. Now, you've heard probably the illustration used by many before that said, they teach the real thing to those who would look for counterfeit money, what the real thing is supposed to be look like, so that they could automatically see something that is counterfeit, because they know the real thing. Well, when you know the Word of God and you know the real thing, then you know what is a counterfeit. Now, I've seen counterfeit dollars before, because I was working in retail and would get called to the bank and have to look at a counterfeit bill. And there's no way I could tell you. And I remember with the $20 bill, I was asked, man, how is that? And they started pointing. It took me a while to see what they were talking about, but I finally saw what they were talking about on that $20 bill. But then I was amazed. How could they see that? Well, they were trained to know the real thing. You know how to be protected from Satan deceiving you? Know his God's word. Know his word. And then you cannot be deceived like Eve was when Satan says, oh, you'll be like God's. Boy, that logic seemed to make sense. And oh, was she missed it. And then Adam was even worse, because he knew it was wrong. He wasn't deceived. He sinned presumptuously. And of course, man that day was separated from God, which is what the word death means. Now, as well educated as the various Pharisees and priests were, and as you have in our day, you have doctors of divinity, you've got doctors of all types of things of their religion, and they've probably studied well and have learned a lot. But when they start to go against the Word of God, then they are going to bring judgment, because God doesn't want his word corrupted. Now, sometimes, you bring in a new guy that takes the place of a pastor, of a school administrator, a radio station manager, and what happened? Well, people come to them and begin to put pressure, saying, well, you know, we need to change some things. We need to let up on the music standards, say, for the radio. We need to quit having these standards in the church. This is too hard on young people. You know, this just isn't relevant for today. You're not going to reach people if you're not relevant to them. We aren't relevant to them. We're relevant to God. Now, we're relevant to people in that we're humans. We breathe the same air they breathe. Okay? We are relevant. And we have to eat. We have to sleep. We have to work jobs. And so there are many decisions we have to make. So we're relevant in that respect. But righteousness and unrighteousness, holiness and unholiness, should not be relevant to one another. Now, the culture should never, never, never be allowed to change the standards of the holiness of God's word in your life. You see, now they want this cultural drink, dress immodestly, and come to church that way, do things that are unholy in worship, because it makes their flesh feel good. See, these are those who turn the grace of God into lasciviousness, as Jude 4 tells us, or as Jude verse 12 tells us. They are spots in your feast of charity. That is the charity that we would have for God, and the kind of charity that God would have for us, his love. And he calls them there in Jude 12, clouds without water and trees without fruit. Now, we know in the Bible of Jesus coming on that fig tree, and yet those figs weren't ready. And he cursed the tree right there, and that tree would never bear again. And then clouds. Have you ever looked up in the sky and you say, oh boy, it's going to rain. Man, we needed this rain. Praise the Lord, we're going to get rain. And then somehow it doesn't rain that day. Or we're going to go on a picnic. Oh, look outside. It's a good day, man. We're going to make it. And you go out, and then there's a thunderbolt, and boy, it's rough. Well, you see, clouds without water, trees without fruit, that's kind of the way it goes. And so it teaches us here, this grace of God teaches us to deny ungodliness. Now, have you ever thought of how we are saved? And I'm sure you have. Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now, as we said earlier, it's by grace. Now, how is it by grace? Because none of us deserve the salvation. None of us deserve for God to send his only begotten Son to die for us and to die in our place. So it was God's loving grace that sent his Son to die for us. But through faith, it is trusting him with our eternity. It's trusting him with our life. It is turning to him to take our sin from us and to give us everlasting life, to give us his Holy Spirit, to walk in the Lord. Now, when you look at verse 10, he says, for we are his workmanship. Okay? We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works that which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But people stop there. Well, we don't have a work salvation. We don't work to keep our salvation. No, we don't. We have the salvation that works. See, because when you're saved, then you become his workmanship. I wonder about people who say, well, I said this prayer and I got baptized, so I'm saved, but there's nothing else in their life. Well, maybe they didn't understand repentance and faith. And so, we are his workmanship, and that his workmanship is always holy. If his workmanship is holy, then he's not going to lead us to do anything that promotes the flesh. He is going to one day present his bride in heaven as one having no spot, wrinkle, or any such thing. You see, God is holy, and without holiness, no man shall see God. That's why in Ephesians 1:6 it says we are accepted in the Beloved, because when we are raptured, we are changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. As Philippians chapter 3, verse 21 also tells us that he will change our vile body. And that's not just vile in our makeup of the body itself, but also in the very person that indwells the body so often that still has that sin nature. But he'll change our vile bodies and fashion it like unto his glorious body. Think of 1 John chapter 3, where he says, behold, what matter of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. We are the children of God. And we don't deserve it. But that's the matter of love he's bestowed upon us. That's his grace. So the grace teaches us to deny ungodliness. Faith is not intellectual understanding.
This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you'd like a CD copy of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name and mailing address, and include the radio station by which you are listening, and the date of the broadcast. We would appreciate a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us by our website and freely download the sermons by clicking on the sermon library. That site is www.centralbaptistocala.com. Again, the address of Lamp and Light Broadcast is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, OCALA, Florida, 34471. And our website is www.centralbaptistocala.org. This is your announcer, Dale Jackson, saying, may God's peace be with all who are in Christ Jesus.
My feet on its firm foundation, for the Bible stands. I will